Welcome everybody out there in podcast land back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. You can follow us on Twitter as well at FFR Podcast. Send in questions and suggestions to our podcast. Andy reads them all the time, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also, visit our buddies at 1893 Coalition, consisting of Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. But once again, my name is Daniel. I am here with Freeform Radio, and today, my other co-host today
is Andy, who reads all the emails, even the drunk ones.
Yeah. You even look at the spam folder and you check them out, so...
Even the Nigerian ones, I still get them. I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah. Send them in, even from across the seas. We want to hear from you. But yeah, man, we're back together here, me and Mr. Andres here, to chop it up a little bit. And you mentioned something for an old-time wrestler that, you know, now that I don't really watch it, I haven't heard his name in a while, but Jerry Lawler, I guess he's got a new documentary out?
Well, documentary came out a while back. I just recently purchased the Blu-ray real cheap on eBay.
And oh, okay.
I think it came out last year, but I always liked Jerry Lawler. I thought he was an interesting character. He was at his best when he was a bad guy. But, yeah, I mean, check it out. It's called It's Good to Be the King. It's produced by WWE. So it talks about him growing up. A lot of people don't know he's, like, considered, like, a really good artist, like, comic book artist, a drawer, sketcher.
Yeah, he wrote a couple books, right?
Yeah, he done a couple books. He drew a lot of the books. And
oh, so he didn't write the content?
No, but he, like, loves Superman. He loves what I got from the document. He likes to draw, like, sketches, and he's pretty good at it. And talks about his rise from Memphis all the way to WWE, from in between stops like AWA when he was in the Memphis. Some of the stuff I remember seeing, like, when he fought Kerry Von Erich and Super Clash, where these three promotions joined to make, like, this one super promotion, and Lawler won the title.
Against the Texas Tornado?
Yeah, against Von Erichs. And I remember seeing that as a kid. I'm like, man. And they kept saying, like, oh, WWF hasn't responded to our request. I'm like, why won't they send, like, Hulk there? But and when you got older, you kind of got what was going on. Like, it's just all politics, and they were struggling, so they tried to combine one super show.
Now, in your opinion, Jerry Lawler, his best run were in the, you know, Memphis, South stuff, or was it in WWE?
No, the WWE stuff was different. With his, there's two, as I know, Jerry was the Memphis guy. He was the king. He fought Andy Kaufman. I remember him hearing about fighting the Terry Funk.
Yeah.
And then the Southern wrestling was, Memphis was a little bit more gimmicks, like hair matches and straps and chains and all this goofy stuff. And then when he came to WWE, I'm like, oh, that's the guy I used to watch and some old, once in a while. But when he was in WWE, he was more of a bad guy. And he was like, man, he was like a dick early on. Then I remember when his infamous, for a short term, when he was fighting the ECW guys, which that was like awesome. And him and Heyman would go at it back and forth. And then he became an announcer. And then from there, he was on Raw for, like, forever. You know, he had his little, like, his puppies, you know, all that stuff. And
now, he was there before the attitude change, when they started, you know, kind of mimicking WCW.
Remember, he had, like, little people with him as a king, you know, like, jesters, when he was fighting, like, other, who was he fighting? He fought Doink the Clown, and he had his little people with him.
Sure.
And then he had, he fought, who else he fought? He fought a lot of people there, but he wasn't, to me, he was never, like, a serious contender. He was there to be, like, a dick, like, people to boo on him. And he fought, like, Bret Hart. He fought Stone Cold for a little bit, and then they put him, like, on all those gimmicky matches with little people. And then they made him an announcer after Macho Man left. They put him in there, and he found his niche. And became an announcer for a long time, and he would wrestle once in a while.
No, yeah, man. I was never really fond of him as a wrestler. Like you said, my experience with him was in the WWE run. I didn't really know any of his stuff in Memphis.
He was the man. He He did his little, this big move was a power driver, which you don't see anymore. He would jump off the top row, hit you with a closed fist. He wasn't the best worker, you know, wrestling talk. He could wrestle, but he was a character, and he was over, and his big feud was with Kaufman, Andy Kaufman, and they went on Letterman, and they, like, basically Letterman slapped the shit out of him.
Is he a first-generation wrestler or what?
Yeah. He's a first-generation. His dad was, he worked for Ford Motor Company. They talk about it in the documentary, you know. They grew up in Memphis. They shut that plant down. They moved to Cleveland for a little bit, then came back. So he loves the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Indians. And Memphis is what I remember him. I knew of him, and then the WWE, and then his little stint with ECW, which they didn't talk too much about it on the documentary. I don't know why, because I remember when he went there, and the place just went nuts. They like wanted to murder him, man, when he was in the ECW arena.
Well, wasn't the shtick that he's the one that brought RVD?
Yeah, he brought WWE. Him back. Yeah,
that was
because he went there. That was like the most infamous. When I was younger, I watched that. He went in there. He's like, "I'm in your bingo hall. What you gonna do?" And he started messing up people in the place. Man, I thought they were gonna murder him, dude. I thought the fans were gonna jump the rails and beat the shit out of him because that was that much like craziness at that time.
And that was before the internet was really popular. Like, yeah. So like people thought it was real, you know? Yeah. Kind of like the outsiders. Yeah. Some people thought that was a real thing that was going on.
Yeah, because before that, the lead up to that, him and Heyman were having like these debates, you know, in quotation marks. And he goes, "Why Vince McMahon lets you up here with your Ricky Dean Corporation and wrestling in your bingo hall in front of 100 people? You got 20,000 people here. You get more exposure here in 1 minute than you get in your bingo hall. And, you know, you guys are never will-be's and has-beens and stuff like that." And he was, like, literally, like, he was just telling it how it is. And Heyman would just be, like, going back and forth. And they talk about, like, his, how he never, like, his family stuff in Memphis. I was like, holy shit, like, how real is this getting, you know?
Yeah.
And then, So then he went to the arena that night. Is still crazy. I actually met Lawler at a convention. The 8x10 I requested is where I talked to him a little bit when he went there, and he was like, "Yeah, man, it was hostile." He's like, "That was one crazy night." And the autograph I got is where he's choking out Tommy Dreamer with a chain. You can see his face, like Dreamer's face, like, and you see Lawler has it around his neck, and he signed the Jerry the King Lawler Hall of Fame. Like 2005 or something, like 2002. He put HOF 2005.
Oh, okay.
And then when he was waiting there for people, he wasn't busy, he was sketching. So that's how I knew, and he was plugging his books and his graphic novels and all this stuff. So, I mean, he's pretty down-to-earth guy and stuff. So, I mean, what I've seen when I met him that one time. And that's why I like him a lot. And then they talk a lot about when he had his heart attack live on TV. He had a heart attack, and then apparently his dad had like 7 heart attacks. It was like, wow. I think heart disease runs in his family. So yeah, it was overall, I really recommend it. It's one of the better ones since they're going to really stop doing them, I think, because they're putting everything on the network now. So I don't think they're going to put as much effort onto them. Like, that's one of the ones that I wanted to see.
Oh, cool. Now, did he have any kids that joined the wrestling organization, or any, you know, daughters, sons that are in wrestling?
Hattie, man. Scotty Too Hottie. We saw the Too Cool reunion a couple years back, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Christopher, he was there, and that's his son. He was actually in the documentary talking about how his dad was never there, and because he got married really young. He got married like when he was 20 or something, and he was always traveling, making money, because that's what you do. And his wife, they broke up, they divorced, and then, he goes, "Yeah, the couple of times where both of my first kids were born," he's like, "I wasn't there, I was traveling, I was working," and told me, like, he kind of brushed it off, like, it wasn't a big deal, but, I don't know, he's just like, it is what it is, you know, that's the life I chose, and you either gotta, you know, it is what it is, basically. I'm like, okay.
Do you know what his kid's still doing? I haven't even really heard. Is he just doing the indie stuff
where we saw him? I think he does indie stuff. And, I mean, I really didn't see. He looked in decent shape. I mean, he didn't look like he was all drugged out or something.
Yeah. I just wonder if he was in TNA, because I don't really keep up too much with TNA. No,
TNA is almost done for. It's a whole nother show.
Well, speaking of stuff that's getting kind of mediocre reviews, the Suicide Squad, man. You mentioned that you finally got a chance to watch that movie. Now, I haven't seen it, so be light on these spoilers, but I don't know. People,
you just need to step out of the studio then, and I'm going to go on a full rant for like 10 minutes. comic book movie, man.
People were hating on it when their first reviews started coming out. Yeah, people were starting to hate on it, and some people loved it, and those were like the Batman, JLA fanatics. But
they do reference that a lot in the movie.
Yeah, but for the most part, people were kind of hating the structure. Even the Joker guy, the Jaleto or whatever that guy's name is.
The Joker character, this Joker, I kind of liked it. It was an upgrade from the previous incarnations, but I think they modernized it enough where I'm like, okay, this is not as bad as people made it out to be. It was actually, I thought it was good. What he was doing, he didn't have like this crazy laugh like, you know, the previous ones. Or it was done enough right for this Batman. You know, everybody likes the Heath Ledger Joker because he was a little bit more, I don't know, like he was evil, but he wasn't like, he was methodical, you know? He would tell you stuff. And this Joker, he was just, I don't know, it's like a different Joker. I don't want to reveal too much. It's just different because he has Harley in this version. Never seen him with somebody. In this one,
so they work off of each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And like, it's weird to see, she's getting text messages from the Joker. Like the Joker, I didn't see him as the texting type of guy, but he was texting. I'm like, okay, interesting. I was like, okay, a Joker's a texter. I didn't imagine that.
But for the movie as a whole, how'd you dug it? Was it okay? Half decent?
I would watch it again. I wasn't like, holy shit, like Avengers, the last Avengers, like that was a good movie. This is just it's decent. You can see there was a lot of bad editing. I watched enough movies where I see where they chopped up parts.
Yeah, what's the story with that? I remember reading something about the studio and editing of the movie.
You could tell there's a lot of stuff they reshot and went in there. And they try to do certain things. And like, again, I don't want to spoil too much reading, but the intro to me right away, I felt like that was chopped up. There's a different, you can see, like, to me, I saw the original intro, and then there's stuff before that. I'm like, okay, they added this afterwards to explain something, and then they go into what I consider probably the first rough scene intro, because that to me would make more sense. But I bet you they tested it, and they're like, who's these people? We don't know. So they did some reshooting to explain some things. And then they went to the original intro, which led up to that original intro. I saw that immediately.
Well, I agree. A lot of these characters, I mean, I'm a somewhat comic book like guy. I do read some comics, but I don't know all of these Suicide Squad people. I knew of the premise reading comics that there was a group of bad guys that work for the government to go on these suicide missions or what have you. But I don't know the characters intimately. I don't know all of these characters. So I would need somewhat of an introduction or at least a brief, like 5 minutes. Like, this is the guy's story. He was a prisoner. He did this. He did that. And then now he got given a chance. So I don't know how the movie introduces you to the characters. But I would definitely need some kind of background as to who these people are.
Exactly. It ties in a lot to Batman versus Superman. So for me, you have to watch that movie before you watch this one.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because they use
so they make references.
Yes, they make a lot of effing references to that movie.
Oh, I like you just did the F censored by man.
Fucking references to that movie. So they use words in there, some characters, and then they talk about him, and then there's certain cameos which I was not expecting. They're there, and I'm
surprise cameos. Yeah. Oh shit! So
that's why. And I'm just thinking, like, why would they do that? And like, okay. And then, but overall, you know, everybody loves Harley Quinn and Deathstroke and, or Deadshot, I'm sorry. And, I mean, they're all right. Captain Boomerang, I know him. I remember reading him in certain JLA comics and stuff like that. And Killer Croc and, you know, so there was one character I didn't really know too much, Diablo. I didn't know. To me, it felt like a Ghost Rider ripoff. But
how's Fresh Prince, man? How's he doing?
He's Will Smith. I was thinking, like, oh, I wonder why he did this movie and not Independence Day 2.
Yeah.
Basically, it's his movie and Harley Quinn's. Everybody else is a supporting cast.
How was the Batman portion of it? Because I did hear Batman does a little, like,
I felt like that was some of the scenes they reshot and just, like, we need Batman in here and put him in there.
Okay.
Because that's why I'm telling you, they talk about certain things from that movie, and there was a couple scenes where you could tell it was just like, let's just throw this shit in here to put him in there. And I was just like, well, this makes no sense. Like, okay. Like, we had, you know, I don't want to spoil it too much, but yeah, it's just, there was a lot of scenes you could tell were reshot. When I remember reading about it, I'm like, eh. But, yeah, I mean, it was all right. Batman, he was all right.
Oh, cool, man. I kind of want to check it out, but to me, I'm like, I'll wait until it's at home and I could watch it at home. It's not something I'm going to go see at the theater. And I kind of do that with a lot of the movies. I kind of already give it from the start, like, yeah, that's not really a theater movie that I'm going to waste my money. Because going to the theater is expensive, man. It's, you know, $10 per person kind of thing.
I'm going
to
sound like some cheap bastard, but yeah, lately it's I'm like, do I want to see this in the full theater experience, or could I just watch it in my 46-inch TV with my sound bar,
which is fine. Man. Hell yeah.
And that's what Hollywood's running into lately with all the movies. That's why you see comic book movies, because people want to go see them. And that's why they're not going to make a dramatic film anymore. That's all going to be straight to, it's going to be commercial TV or some digital stuff. Like, I want to see the Tom Hanks movie, Sully. Yeah. About the guy landing, but I don't want to pay $12 to go see in the theater. I want to watch it in my house.
Oh, sure.
And that they still make that movie hoping to get like Oscars, but I don't think the movie did that too good to begin with. So, I mean, that's why I'm just like, yeah, like I can wait till it's on digital stream.
Yeah, Efren was asking me about the Doctor Strange movie that just came out.
He posted that he went and saw it. Yeah.
So he was asking me about it. He's like, yeah, you're going to go check it out. And I'm like, you know, I'm not really that big into Doctor Strange. But just so I could stay connected in the Marvel Universe, just because I know they do a good job of connecting movies, I told them, I'm like, I'll probably watch it, but that's the kind of movie that I'm going to watch at home. I'm not going to pay $10.
You should watch. I read a good review on it, and they're like, if you watch the 1970s Doctor Strange movie, Marvel made one. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
And it is pretty fucking trippy. They said that this one is even more trippier than that one. This is like 70s movie. So if you want to see a Doctor Strange movie, YouTube the 70s one. I got it somewhere in like a bootleg that I bought a while back. And I was watching it one time like, man, this is some hippie bullshit. And he's just like weird. And they said this one is even more hippie-ish and more strange and more trippy than the 70s one.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and it does look interesting. I mean, it looks kind of like Matrix-y, where you see, like, perspective changes. Up is down, down is up. It's kind of like that DiCaprio movie, Deception.
Inception.
Inception, that
like,
one, yeah.
Asleep, a dream. Like, yeah. South Park made it great. They made fun of it, and it was the best. Because it gets to the point where you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I just know there's a dream inside of a dream. So how far can you dream inside a dream before you don't know what the fuck is going on?
No, yeah. So getting back to what I was saying, yeah, it's the Suicide Squad, that's one of the ones that, you know, I'll watch at home. I'm not that hot on it, so I'll just watch it at home.
You should watch those 70s Marvel movies. Some of those are pretty corny and awesome at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I've like seen quite a few in my
Captain
childhood.
Captain America one.
Spider-Man. It's the greatest with the motorcycle, man.
That full motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Doctor Strange one, and then the Spider-Man ones too are pretty cool too. That's some corny shit right there.
I've seen a couple memes that have the new characters with the new Marvel Universe, right, and then with the old characters, like the old Thor where he looks like a biker.
Yeah, the ones with the Hulk.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's like a Daredevil with the Hulk. He made an appearance, and he's all like in black, just like some dude they just put like a bed sheet over. It's... Don't forget your past, Marvel fans, everybody who loves all this new shit. They had Marvel at one time sucked at making movies.
Oh, yeah.
The Fantastic Four, that's 80s shit. The Spider-Man, the Hulk stuff. The Hulk, I mean, I don't knock the Hulk. I like the Hulk series, but they made some crap, especially the made-for-TV movies.
Well, you were telling me when you were walking in, man, speaking of good stuff, the good news, man, the good news translation of the Bible. What's the story with that, man?
It's so, I'm taking my
Catecismo
classes, and I'm taking to have my first communion done in my confirmation. Please don't judge my mother. I'm learning about my Catholic faith and so forth. And so one of the things I had to get was a Catholic Bible. Apparently, you can't just walk in with any Bible at Catholic church, because we have our own Bible. So I'm like, all right, sweet. And they show you how many Bibles or how many books our Bible has and so forth. So one of the things I wanted to get was a bilingual Bible. So it's in English and Spanish.
Yeah, I've seen those where one side is one language and then the other side is
right against each other.
Yeah.
Right? So they have them in class. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is a pretty sweet Bible. But I'm like, it was called the Good News Translation. I'm like, interesting. I've never heard of it. I've seen a lot of translations, never the Good News. And it is a little bit different. I'm used to reading King James Version.
Wow, you read the King James?
King James, man.
Holy moly.
Old version, but the international, never.
I read the New International Version. That's the version that I read.
Man, you're going to hell, man. That ain't a correct Bible.
Well, that's what most modern Christians read, just because it's a little more understandable. But you're correct. It's the translation of somebody, and it's not the original. Well, even King James is not the original. But
that's what I read the most. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, King James, I guess it's the most accessible translation, you know, right now, currently. But there are others that are more accurate and more... you know, to what was actually written. Yeah.
I'm not no Bible thumper. I'm just saying, you know, I had to get a Bible. So I did. And I searched for this one. And they had one at the classes I'm going to. It's called the Good News Translation, which I've never heard of. Like, wow, this is something like even like I didn't even know existed. Right. So I'm reading through it, and it does differ from some of the other versions I read. And I'm just like, huh, like, it's kind of, like, messing up with my mind a little. Because the translation is, it's there, but they use just different wording and in, like, different format, I feel. But, and I read it's this Good News version or whatever, Good News Translation is something that was created in the 60s by some, I guess, a father or something. But it's mostly predominantly used, like, in Spanish-speaking countries. Like, oh, okay. Central America, South America, Mexico. And it is a Catholic Bible, so it's cool with the...
So it's approved by the church.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's interesting. They have their us Catholics have a lot of rules.
No, for sure, man. The Catholic Bible has a few different books
They have additional books, yes.
Yeah, they have additional books that are not usually in the New International or even in the King James. They're Catholic-approved books that are, additional books that they feel are necessary to be in the Bible.
It was my girl gave it to me as a gift. It's a nice Bible. It's leather bound, the gold edges, nice little bookmark. It's easy to use, so it's nice. It's just I don't know. It's different. That's all I'm saying. I'm not mocking or anything. It's just different.
No, for sure, man. You have to get used to it. I know for Alana, we got her like a woman's version, something or other. I forget what it says. It closely mimics the New International Version,
right?
But then it has a few highlights in the seams. I forget what they call it. In between the margins that kind of have little comments that relate to women or something to effect of women, you know, because women power or whatever it is. I don't know what the agenda is with the book, but something to that effect where it could relate to a woman. And, yeah, we ended up buying that when we were into Bible study a few years back.
Right.
So that's the one that she uses. She carries that one around. And, yeah, she seems to like it. The one I got was actually a kind of like cheapo one.
From the dollar store?
Just about. I spent like 10 bucks on it. And it's just like a generic cardboard covered Bible, New International versions, like I mentioned. But, yeah, I've actually kept my eye out for a new one because I do want to get a newer one that, right, that'll be kind of a little beefier and take a little bit of beating because this one, the cover's starting to rip. I usually keep it in the car with me because I like to take it wherever I go in case I need to read something or I need to, you know, even though now everybody's got their phones and I do have a Bible on my phone as well. But, you know, every now and then you might need to check a verse or do something while on the go.
Man, what's wrong with you?
Nah, you know, memory's not working as good as it used to. You know, I'm almost 40.
You got the 90s rap songs all memorized still, man?
Yeah, I still got Today's a Good Day memorized in my head.
Just like, give me a beat.
Yeah. But no, man, it's good to hear, man, that the progress of your catismo voyage, catecismo voyage is on its way, and it's going good, man.
I'm not... right now, I like it a lot because in learning why the church does some certain things I used to question, like, why do they do this?
Well, for money?
No, not for money, but there is some stuff where, okay, this makes sense. Now I know why, because Jesus actually did it. Okay, so now I get it. Before, there's some other stuff I was just like, I don't know. Obviously, I don't approve of everything the church does, but who does it, you know? So it is... it's not that bad, and right now it's a big part of it's the history lesson. So I'm learning a lot.
Oh, cool, man. No, it's good to hear that that you know you're really digging it, man. I was kind of surprised. I thought this was going to be something that maybe you started doing, and then you know halfway through you're just like, you know, whatever. You know, I'm dropping this and going somewhere else.
No, man, it's I'm learning that. Because some of the questions that I've had in the past about Catholic churches, some of it's being answered right now. They're explaining to me why they're doing it. Like, okay. And they're like, some of it I don't agree with it to this day, but some of the stuff that they do at Mass, okay, now I know why they do it.
Okay.
Jesus actually did some of this stuff. It's like, okay, I didn't know that. And so, they're showing me all the other stuff that they're doing, the profession of faith and why they have it worded like this and some of the why they do this. And so, yeah, okay, I understand now.
Oh, cool, man. Good, good. Well, kind of in that note, I just wanted to kind of say, man, this past week I felt really blessed. I felt like an overcoming joy of, you know, just feeling like God's, you know, he's really helped me out a lot in my life. And I feel it more and more every day. Right. And I just felt it recently the other day. I was driving, stopped by like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. I don't remember. And I was just grabbing like an iced tea or something. And I was thirsty. I'm like, yeah, let me stop by and just get something to drink. So I'm getting this iced tea and then I'm walking back to my car. And it was like one of those days that was kind of breezy. It was like the first really like fall day where you're like, man, I could like see it start snowing. That's how cool it is. You know, it's like, you know, 40s. You know, something like that. It's like, you know, in the upper 40s, but, you know, it's still cool where you're like, damn, I'm glad I put my Scully on, you know, keep my head warm. So I'm walking back to my car and I notice this lady by the bus station and she's just getting off of the bus. Now, you know, when I go to work, I leave my house 6 a.m, the latest. So it's 6 a.m. This lady's getting off of the bus and she had a baby stroller with a baby in it. And then she had a little kid, I would say maybe 3-4,
right?
Definitely under 5 years old.
Just,
but, you know,
one, right?
Two kids, one in the stroller, like a baby stroller, like a legit baby stroller, and then the little kid. And so it's 6 a.m, man. She's getting off of the bus, and it just struck me, man. I'm just like, man, I'm like, I don't know if that lady feels blessed. I don't know if she feels the way I'm feeling right now, because, you know, it's obvious that she's going through some struggle. I mean, right. To have to take the bus that early in the morning to do whatever she's going to go do. I don't know what, if she's going to work, if she's going to visit her mom, maybe she's from out of town. You know, I don't know what her circumstances are, but it gave me like, man, maybe this is her daily struggle that she's got to go through. And maybe not a struggle, maybe to her it doesn't seem that rough, but to me, I can't see like my wife doing that. I would feel terrible if she had to take the bus every morning to go to work and then drop Junior off somewhere. So taking Junior at 6 a.m, when I left to go to work, he was sound asleep, in bed. Right. So I don't know. It just struck me really hard, and I felt really bad for that lady, which I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but it did cross my head, that man, that lady's got a heavy cross to carry, and, hopefully God blesses her with whatever she's looking for, and hopefully the hard work that she's going through is, comes to fruition with something that she's looking forward to, or she's working towards. Right. So, no, man, I just want to kind of say that, I just felt really blessed in these last couple of days, and, I just want to, just bring it out there to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, not everything is like this miracle that's going to happen. People expect, when people you ask God for stuff or you pray for stuff, it's usually not like little things. It's just like you want this miracle, right? And not everything can be a miracle. Sometimes it's just the little things, like, oh, man, I'm grateful for what I have or whatever. And, you got your family, you got your kids, whatever. You're not sick, you're not homeless, you're not hungry. You're clothed, everything's all right, you're not that broke, or you paid off some bills. I mean, it's little things like that what makes, God blesses you. He speaks to everyone differently, he appears to you differently, and I mean, that's all we want. We all want to be happy, and hopefully he speaks to everyone in their own way, because some people don't have it like that, so you don't know why, but it's just the way things are.
No, for sure, man. And that's really what I mean, because, I got my own cross that I got to bear, my own things, my own struggles. But at that moment, coming out of 7-Eleven, I felt blessed. I'm like, man, I'm fortunate to be able to come in here, grab something to drink. I'm driving my car. I was listening to some tunes on the way there. So, I was in a good mood. I was just like, man, I feel really, like, man, things are going well.
If you were listening to our podcast, would you be upset?
I don't know if I was listening to the podcast, but even if I was, I'd still be in a good mood. But, I was just, I was jamming. It was early in the morning, getting my day started. And I just saw this lady, and it kind of, felt heavy on my heart. I'm like, man, even though I do feel, God's hand on me, I should be even more grateful, because my struggle could be a lot worse. It could be maybe as bad as that lady or even worse. So, So that's all I really wanted to say. It's just, God's blessed us, and sometimes you just got to look at the little things, like you said, Andy.
Like you guys, you just, I don't know you want to talk about, but you brought up your guys' anniversary. You guys been married a long time, you old timers.
Yeah, we just had our 10th anniversary.
How old is Junior again?
He's 7.
Oh, okay, so you guys did things right. Oh,
No. Jesus gave us our blessing, yeah. But yeah, no, yeah, it's 10 years, man, being married.
Congrats, man.
Oh, yeah. It went by really quick, man.
I was shocked when you posted that the other day. I'm like, holy shit.
Right?
I know you a long time, and then I'm like, has it been 10 years since you've been married to Alana?
Yeah, and I saw Dave's post from Elda a few months ago. I think it was like 20 or
I think they
18 or it was something like
no,
that.
Oh, they've been together. I want to say it's like 15, isn't it?
I don't know, man. I remember when I saw that number, I was just like, "Holy shit!" He like eclipses me and Alana's, and it felt by a lot, I don't,
Well, think about his old. You might be right, because his oldest is a freshman now. So he has to be at least 14 years old. So, yeah, maybe 15, 18, somewhere around there. Yeah, so they've been, because I remember they dated a while, too, like a year, maybe 3 years. So yeah, you might be right, 18 years.
Yeah, I remember it was up there. It was getting closer to the 20. I don't remember quite the number, but I remember when I was comparing it to me and Alana's 10, I was just like, wow, he got married quite a few years before I did.
Congrats to them, too, then. Yeah, I forgot about that. They Because I know they went somewhere for something for an, I don't know if it was an anniversary or just their annual family vacation. They like to go on family vacation, so I don't know. But I know they went somewhere nice, so I don't, maybe there was an anniversary celebration.
But yeah, yeah, usually Dave does right. He takes Elder out, and Elder likes going out to them Hawaii's and the nice good stuff. So Dave does right and you know, takes his wife out.
So would you take Alana? Would you end up guys going steakhouse or something?
Yeah, we went to a steakhouse. One that we've been there before, but we went to a steakhouse and enjoyed some good eats. I myself got a steak. It's called Golden Steer. It's right by Berwyn or in that general area.
Did you have a coupon?
No, I searched because, you know, I did want to save a few bucks, but, you know, I couldn't find any. I signed on to the mailing list.
Cheap bastard.
Yeah, because...
You're like, hey, it's anniversary. What can I get off? Give me 10% off or something.
I was looking, man. I was looking through Groupon, you know, Lifestyles, or what's that other one? Living Social.
Living Social.
Yeah, I was checking through some of those and nothing.
Hey, real quick, the Italian restaurant that's over here in the neighborhood, dude, I bought a Groupon for. Remember, it's called
Daniel's.
Dude, they shut that place down or they went under.
Oh, yeah?
I got holy a notification. Shit. They're like, hey, we're sorry to tell you, but that place went under. Or they're no longer around, wow. So ask for your money back. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow, holy shit. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, last time I went there was like a couple of years ago. So, and then I was telling my girl, like, oh, I got to take you to this, like, an Italian restaurant actually run by Italian people. And it's like in a neighborhood. And it's, like, out of middle of nowhere. Maybe that's what hurt them. I don't know. And then I bought a Groupon. And then, like, yeah, I got the email this week that they shut down.
Wow. And they just redid the street.
Yeah.
They right in front of their business, they put a new median in the middle to kind of slow traffic down and make it where people are kind of, you know, like, cruising by the area instead of rushing through at 30 miles per hour. They put all these, like, overhead lighting hanging off the light posts that are like permanent fixtures. It's not like a Christmas thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Christmassy, you know, like a feel for it. When you're driving through there, it's like driving under a tunnel of lights. And it's kind of trippy. It's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, it's no more. I know there's like, I think there's another like neighborhood thing there, like a 7-Eleven or something. But that restaurant was like, I went there like maybe once and I forgot about it until like a couple of years ago. I think you might have mentioned it or something. And I went there and I'm like, man, it's pretty good here. Like it's actual authentic Italian food. And then I want to take my new girl out there, but they went under.
Yeah, I know Robert De Niro. That's like their claim of fame. The Robert De Niro
went there.
When he, I guess when he comes into Chicago, that's like one of his spots that he likes us to hit up because at least that's their claim of fame. From the website that I saw that, you know, Robert De Niro frequents the restaurant whenever he's, you know, in the area or whatever.
Yeah, it's like nothing, like one of those little things that you take people from out of town, like you don't go to your usual spots. Like that's like a neighborhood spot, like that's what makes Chicago, Chicago, with Chicago land anyway. But yeah, and there's like stuff like that all across the city.
No, yeah, yeah, you're not going to find a 5-for-4 deal or, you know, 2-for-20 kind of thing. No, so yeah.
It's like authentic. Like they had, I remember... they had stuff on there that, like, they had, it wasn't on the menu. It was just, like traditional stuff. They made it there. It just wasn't on their menu. And you're like, yeah, do you have lasagna? Yeah, we got lasagna. Well, it's not on the menu, but we can make whatever you want there.
No, yeah, yeah. No, the restaurant we went to, we had been there before, but the last time we were there was when Junior was kind of young. He was, like, 2 or 3 or something around that age.
Okay.
And he was kind of fussy that one time that we went. So we didn't really get to enjoy it too well because we were in a rush. We were kind of pandering to Junior, you know, because he was kind of having a fit or he wasn't in a good mood or whatever his deal was. So, you know, we kind of ate in a rush. We didn't really eat too well. And then we took off and we were just like, man, that was a half decent steak. I wish I could have, you know, finished it and not reheated it the next day and eat it at home. You know, right. I hope I could finish it there or whatever. So it was always a place that we wanted to go back and check out. And I kind of left it up to Alana to where we were going to go eat. You know, I kind of mentioned, let's go here, let's go there, whatever you want to do. And we ended up picking that Golden Steer spot. And, man, I'm glad we went, man. That steak was awesome. It was really juicy. A lot of flavor in it, man. It was the kind that you don't need to put anything. You don't need to put salt. You don't need to put pepper, any kind of...
Steak sauce,
none of that stuff, man. It would just ruin it. And then Alana got lamb chops, and she likes lamb chops.
Alana likes lamb?
Yeah.
I think lamb's rubbery.
I could eat lamb, but I don't care for it. To me, it's kind of like liver. I could eat liver, but to me, it's like, it's all right. It's not the greatest meat. You know, it's not something I crave for it. But yeah, she bought it and she was just like, oh my God, it's so good. I just like I remember it. And then every meal comes with a French onion soup, a house salad, and then a baked potato. So man, needless to say, man, I was full.
Right.
It was so much food. I ate only about half my steak because I ate everything else. I ate the soup, I ate all the salad, and I ate all my baked potato. So I came home with like half my steak. It was like an 18-ounce steak. So I came back with half of it, and Alana demolished everything. well, the lamb chops, not all of it. You know, she kind of ate like half the lamb chops.
Right.
She didn't go to the bone like I would have, man. I would have ate that shit and probably dug into the bone and got it to the marrow a little bit.
The marrow sucked the shit out of it.
But yeah. Alana,
lamb,
you know,
lamb, like I said, it's all right.
Yeah, so no, man, we ate good. Got kind of dressed up a little bit just to go out and kind of enjoy the moment. And yeah, we dropped off Junior at the in-laws, and they kind of took care of him for the evening. So we had a good chance to go out there, not worry about what time this, what time that. Do we got enough time for this? We just went, enjoyed ourselves, didn't have anything to do afterwards. So weren't in a rush. We just enjoyed our meal. And yeah, man, it was a good time, man.
Nice, nice. Oh, you guys earned it, man. You've been together 10 hopefully wonderful years.
Yeah, yeah. Alana started ribbing me because I was saying my prayer at the table, you know, about before we were going to eat. And I was just like, yeah, you know, thank you for this food. Thank you for 10 years married, and hopefully you'll give us 10 more, you know, amen or whatever. Mm. And Alana goes, after we eat, she has a big grin on her face. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she's like, well, you only asked for 10 more good years. He's like, is that all you else? That's all you want?
I mean, I'm going to have to get rid of you.
And I was just like, no, I'll just ask for them 10 at a time. And I don't want to give them too much to work on. And she just started laughing. So no, man, no, it was good eats, good times, man. It was a good time with the family for sure, with my wife.
All right, good, man. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Yeah. But jumping into these articles, man, let's, we had these last couple of weeks, we've been so full of stuff that we've been up to that we haven't really had a chance to really talk about these articles or really getting into some of the stuff. And they're starting to back up some of these fascinating articles that, you know, all three of us, you know, do our best to find. And if anybody out there has anything that they would like for us to speak on, you know, maybe an article you found out there and you want to hear our opinions, send them in to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But our first one here is about concession stands. And this is one of the ones that I found because, you know, me being the cheap guy, I was just like, holy shit, man. I'm like, this is a good thing that this Atlanta Falcons are doing. At their stadium, the owner, Arthur Blank, he's calling it the fan-first pricing for some of the popular items at the concession stand.
Right.
And this is, like I said, Atlanta Falcons, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Fancy, man. They got money in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, man. But it doesn't show it with these pricing, man, because you would think with a name like that, things would be kind of pricey, be kind of expensive. And I don't know about everybody out there, man, but the last time I went to a sporting event, paying close to $10 for a beer, paying, you know, $5 for a hot dog, stuff like that, to me, it's a little bit in excess. And I don't think you should be paying that much for sure.
Fucking dang, it's not cheap. Well, Atlanta fans are, just a quick note for all you non-sports, Atlanta fans are known not to go out to sporting events. They have a track record of having winning teams, and they really don't go out there. Maybe for football, it's a little bit different. But for baseball, I remember they made a couple playoff runs and they didn't sell out the stadium. So,
what's the baseball team out there?
The Braves.
The Braves, okay.
And then they got the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, and they got the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons, football is really popular. It's always been popular. I don't know if they have a hard time selling that place out, though.
Well, yeah, just to give you an idea of some of the pricing, these fan-first pricing that they're offering. They're offering $2 for non-alcoholic beverage products with unlimited free refills. Free refills, Andy.
That's expensive, man.
$2 for non-alcoholic beverages, man. That's an awesome price. Considering when you go to a stadium, it, I don't know about you, man, but when we went to Notre Dame, I think the pop was like $4.
Right.
And granted, you got like a collector's cup, whatever have you, but it wasn't $4 worth. And, you know, it's like a size of a big gulp. But yeah, man, I would much rather pay $2, you know, and then go get a free refill if I get thirsty again halfway.
Rick, no, man, for shame, Notre Dame, not losing a Navy. That was brutal.
Oh,
you should. Kelly's going to get in trouble. But anyways, go on. I digress. Big word.
$2 for bottled water, the dazzling or the
sparkling or dazzling?
It says dazzling bottled water.
The brand?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bottled water.
Bottled water, now that's a whole other thing. It's expensive, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, $2 to me, that sounds reasonable. That sounds about right, $2. Yeah. It doesn't sound like a huge saving, but it sounds about right.
The cheapest I've seen is like $3.50 maybe?
Yeah.
$4?
Yeah.
Something like that at any of the sporting events?
Hot dogs and pretzels, popcorns, all $2.
That's a good price.
So to me, that's more reasonable, $2 for a hot dog. I could dig that.
It's more expensive to eat at Jim and Jude's.
Yeah, no, for sure. Gin and Jude's, I think they're like $3 or $4.
It's $3.
But it comes with fries. I don't know if these come with fries. It's probably just like a plain hot dog with no toppings at all.
Yeah, and like, can they just throw the ketchup packets at you, bastards? Like, you got mustard. We don't like mustard down here.
Yeah, put your own on it.
Yeah.
$3 for peanuts, pretzels, nachos, waffle fries. So $3 for a pizza, that to me sounds...
So if you get a hot dog, you get waffle fries, that's $5. If you get a pop, that's $2. So that's $7 right
$7. There. So $7 for, you know, somewhat of a so complete meal there.
You take a family
there.
Of two, four, there you go.
I can dig that, man. And then getting down to the most important part, domestic beer, a 12-ounce beer, $5.
Danny, I'm a fine connoisseur of exotic drinks.
Oh, you want that?
I don't want
imports?
That domestic. I need the craft beers something like
well,
that to that effect.
This article fails to reference how much those cost. But with these being the fan-friendly ones or the fans first, I don't know if they include exported beer and
don't
stuff like
that. Don't
you think
Dad likes to have a finer beer selection than just those domestic bottled cans?
Yeah, for sure. If I give my dad an option, he'll Modelo it up or get some Coronas. He ain't going to go for that Bud Light for sure.
We have Blue Ribbon, Pabst Blue Ribbon, and Budweiser and be like, nah, man, where's the Sam Adams or some IPA shit? We don't got that here, man. Yeah, we got it. It's $12 a can.
Yeah. So, I mean, even kind of going back to my 10th anniversary, I bought Modelo while I was out there.
Right.
And then my wife got a White Russian. So we're drinking by the bar waiting for our table, man. And then the lady finally comes up to us and he's like, hey, your table is going to be ready in a minute. Please take care of your tab at the bar. And then we'll start a new one at your table. And I'm like, all right, great. So I cash out. And for those two drinks, dude, it was like $15.
Sounds about right.
But I was just like, holy shit, man.
Was
I'm like,
draft. There was a bottle?
It was out of a bottle, man. So
did he pour it or just give you the bottle?
No, he poured it into a cup, you know, like a frosted mug kind of thing. You know, and it was a good beer, and I'm sure my wife's drink was good. And she said it was, you know, on the strong side. So, you know, they put liquor in it. It wasn't just milk or whatever a White Russian's made out of. So, you know, she said it was good, but man, $15 good? I don't know.
Just
man.
To give you an idea, that picture I texted you guys on Friday, that little Coors Fat bottle.
Yeah, yeah, the old school original.
So we were shopping to make dinner, and then I'm like, man, I want a beer, and I don't want Miller Lite. So she's like, get these Coors. I'm like, why would I get these Coors, those little fat bottles? And I'm just like, they're on sale. So I'm like, 12 ounce. Like, screw it, I'll get it. That 12 pack costed me $7.99 then.
Yep.
Of beer.
Look
so
at that.
Just to get
for
you
a
an
whole
idea.
12 pack, dude.
Yeah, of those little fat brown bottles of Coors Banquet beer.
I much rather would have paid the $7 and had that whole 12 pack to myself. But yeah, you know, now I understand you're at a restaurant, you're out and about, you know, things are going to be a little bit more.
And the experience, that's where you're getting the ambiance.
But that's what I'm talking about. When you go to these, you know, stadium places, you're going to pay, man. And if you're into drinking, if you're into eating stadium food, you're going to pay out of your ass. You might even pay more than what you pay to get
when
there.
When I go to any sports function, there's two things I know I'm going to get ripped off on is beer and food. So I'd rather drink beer than sneaking peanuts or something.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't imagine I don't know how many times I said it in this podcast, when I go to sporting events and I see family of four there, and knowing what I paid to get there, and I'm having my beers, and these guys having beer, the mom's having some like cocktail or a wine because they offer all this shit now. The kids having hot dogs and popcorn and pop. I'm like, this guy's spending like, just for this alone today is probably like $400.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine like a middle income person taking a family of four to any sporting, like major sports, football, baseball, even like half price Mondays or Sundays, family nights, whatever they call it. It's still expensive. Just to get down there is expensive.
No, for sure, man. I'm a White Sox fan, so I watched a lot of the White Sox or whatever. And I've only taken Junior to maybe like two or three games because, man, it's so expensive, man. It's like, And tickets are relatively cheap, especially because the White Sox kind of sucked these last couple of years. But it's still expensive, man. I mean, it's, you pay the ticket, the parking, the, before you're all done, like you said, man, you're in the hole $100, man.
I took my girl and her nieces and nephews to a minor league baseball in Schaumburg.
Yeah, yeah.
I got us front row tickets. I had to buy five. They were like, if I bought them ahead of time, I think they were like $10 each. So right there is $50. Least parking was free. It was close from my work, so I could have just driven up there. Buying beers and all that was still expensive. I mean, I had to spend at least less than $100, but that's what I had to do, you know. And I can imagine, like, going, like I said, to any major sporting things. It's like, it
would have been double or triple.
That's like, now I get it now. It's an experience. People do it once a year, take their whole family up there, and they just do it because you can't go, like, every weekend or once a month because it'll bankrupt you.
No, for sure. You'd have to be a man of means, and you'd have to have some good bankroll to be able to do that more frequent. But now it's good to hear that these stadiums are coming up with ways to kind of help, middle-class people or lower-class people even, to be able to enjoy themselves out there with their family. The other article kind of rings to that as well, trying to help the fans. And this one partakes to the Indiana Pacers. The basketball team, they have a system which is called Wait Time. It's an app that you could upload into your phone, and it provides you with up-to-the-minute real-time information as to the wait time at the concession stands. So
in their stadium.
In their stadium, they integrated their camera system into this Wait Time app.
It's kind of scary.
And the cameras are capable of snapping 10 photos per second to estimate the amount of time that it's going to take you to wait if you leave your chair at that moment.
Does Skynet have access to this technology?
maybe. So, you know, just imagine, you know, you're waiting by your chair, you know, your kid's like, hey, I want something to drink, and there's no pop lady or guy coming down to offer you a beer at your seat or a pop or whatever. So you just pop up this app, you look at the concession stand. And the other thing too, it tells you concession stands in the area. So it'll tell you like the one right closest to you, it's a 5-minute wait. The one that's, you know, right down the hall, there's no wait, there's no line. And then the one right next to that one is a 10-minute line or whatever. So it'll give you in the stadium times as to these concession stands, so then that way you can gauge, all right, should I go do it now? I can hit the concession stand, got 5 minutes, I can do it during halftime, I can do this, I can do
way
that.
Way better than all that. When the beer vendor walks around, how many are you allowed to sell me at a time? Two. Give me two.
Yeah.
And when he comes back around, you got another two in there? Yeah, give me two. So you build up your little pool of beer there, and you don't have to get up for nobody.
Well, I think, Andy, that you haven't experienced it yet, but having a little kid, while you're trying to enjoy the $100 tickets that you just paid for, and you're trying to enjoy the game, and then he's just like, hey, Daddy, I want this. And then, hey, Daddy, I want this. And then, hey, Daddy, I want this. And by the time you do all that, you just miss like 2-3 innings. And then it's just like, after all that, you're like, all right, finally, I got him settled. Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. And it's just like, ah.
That's when I channel my dad's spirit and be like, espérate, cabrón. Just wait, all right? We'll go there when we go there. I want it now. And then I get five across the face. That don't work no more?
Nah. Especially not out front.
Speaking of that, this morning I went out to, we went out for breakfast. And I saw the Father
Thanks
of the Year.
Thanks for the invite, man.
Father of the Year candidate here, Dan. This was, I can't believe what I heard. And My girl was even offended. She was like, I can't believe, don't you ever do that if we have kids. So we're at McDonald's because I have my app and I got a discount.
Oh, sweet.
So the guy, it's there with his son and daughter. His son's like maybe like a teenager. And he goes, Apa, ¿qué, cuál soda quiere? Oh, dame la de la Coke. And he goes, llénala hasta arriba toda, güey.
Güey.
He's like, fill it up to the top, basically, you son bitch. And this kid is like, okay, dad. And I'm just like, and me and Gracie, we walk. She's like, did he hear? We're walking out. Did he hear what he just told his son? I can't believe it. How embarrassing and this and that. And the kid must be like, I don't think, man, he's a little bit older. So maybe they have just a different relationship. Or maybe it's not his dad. I don't know. But he called him papa. So I'm like, obviously it's his dad. So I'm just like, huh? I'm like,
well, see, I think the uniqueness of that, Andy, is this is probably an old school Mexican. And
he did have a mullet, I'll give you that. He did have a mullet.
And this is just the way they speak, man. This is, and to them, it's normal. It's not like disrespect. It's not like they're saying it in a negative, you know, tone. That's just the way they speak, man. When you talk to some of these old school Mexicans, not to generalize them all, but when you do speak to a majority of them.
All right, that's, Trump Jr.
That's the way they talk, man.
Yeah, they, I was taken aback, dude, for like a second there. I'm like, huh, okay. But my girl, she's like, ah, that's not right. That's not right. And I'm just like, who am I to judge?
My dad, when he was younger, or when I was younger, he was quite a swearer, man.
He cursed. He's different. Yeah.
He'd let him fly really, really bad. And now in his older age, he's kind of...
He mellowed out.
Yeah, he mellowed out a lot, especially in front of the kids. And if he doesn't let it one slip, I remind him. Then I swear. And then that's when he notices it, because he'll be like, no, es que está cabrona, mijo. Está cabrón, mijo. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just be sitting there, and, you know, it's not that big of a swear word, you know, but it is a swear word. So then I'll go be like, yeah, pa, si está bien cabrón. And then that's when my dad start grinning and be like, no, mijo, no hable así. And I'll be like, yeah, why? When you hear somebody else saying it, you're like, yeah, that's a big swear word.
My dad, at the end, I was embarrassed, but I started cursing in front of him. Not a lot, but I would curse, and he didn't even blink an eye. Like, hey, estamos grandes todos. Like, we're all adults. Like, what does it matter now? Like, he knew I was raised right. So, like, I think he kind of, I don't say he welcomed it, but he looked like, okay, he's comfortable enough, or he's not like, yeah, I'm his father, but right now we're just, like, talking as men or something. You know, that's how I figured he looked at it.
Yeah, I think that's still a little different because, you know, like you said, that's conversation between two men. I could understand it a lot more. That there's, you know, cursing in between it. But when there's kids, when there's women, to me, you have to tone that down, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, especially in public. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know a lot of old school Mexican men that they don't have that filter. They'll let it fly and they don't give a shit. And a lot of even old school Mexican women, even them, man, they're guilty of it too,
that's, man. Right. That guy is right up there with the guy who was getting GTA for his like 8-year-old son. And I remember I was at GameStop and the dad pulled up. I remember we pulled in at the same time. A handful of kids run out of this van and the dad's just there on the van sleeping. And the kids run in there. I walk in there. Their first thing they grab is Grand Theft Auto. They try to purchase it. The guy won't sell it to them. It's rated M for mature. And then, like, you need an adult, this kid, and then they get their dad. Dad's like, what the hell's going on? And, oh, sir, this game is rated M. It has violence, guns, nudity, swearing, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, he looks at his kid. What the hell's he saying, kid? Oh, he's like, they have guns and stuff. Yeah, 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 that's fine. And he just gets out the cash. He pays, like, I'm on those. Like, let's get out of here. I got shit to do.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that's that. I wish my dad was like that. Just buy me. They give you all this crap that's bad, but then he still buys it for you. That guy, that dad is awesome. Yeah, I'm imagining now that guy, that kid's like on a killing spree somewhere. He's like, I learned this from Grand Theft Auto.
Video games don't corrupt people, Andy. There you go.
But he is like, I would blame his dad. So I mean, that has to be on video, some security camera somewhere, like some training video. Like, what do you do here when you know the kid shouldn't get it?
Yeah, no, they're kind of tie there. There's only so much you can do, and I've been there kind of for that too, where they're like, sir, I just want to let you know that this game has this and this, and even when I buy games, if they're M-rated, they ask me for an ID, and then they tell me, he's like, yeah, sir.
Your old ass still to this day, man?
Yeah, because I don't know if they think that I'm buying it for my kid or something. So they just want to let me know, like, hey, just to let you know, this has mature content, and it does have some adult themes. And I'll be like, all right, yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me know, and I'll just buy it. But I don't know if it's part of their, like, selling spiel or whatever, the thing they have to say. But yeah, going back to this article, man, the company that really is helping push this forward is, it's called Oracle.
Yeah, Oracle. It's a Oracle huge tech Corp. company, yeah.
And they're saying about 40% of Americans give up waiting in line because it's too long of a wait and just leave their stuff there. So imagine, man, you can recoup a lot of those sales. They're expecting at least to cut that into half, where only 20% will forget it, and, you know, instead of waiting in line for that popcorn, they'll be like, screw it, I don't want to imagine.
Yeah, they have to have some figure where, like, we're losing about $5 million because people don't want to wait, or they see the line and they're like, screw it, and then, you know, they got their margins, and then they're like, if we spend $1 million to make back like $5 or $6 million, like, let's do it. And that's probably what happened. And they're probably paying like a fee, and they tell people to wait because they're like, look, it's only 3 minutes. They'll walk that extra 2 minutes to the other side and go buy something and come back. They'll run or whatever, walk briskly, brisk. And then to do that, because, yeah, I'm one of those people. If I see a line, I just get turned off. Like, I'm not waiting for shit. It's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'll go look for somebody or go somewhere else.
No, yeah, for sure. So This app hopefully will diminish that a little bit and make it more bearable, so you'll know what to expect. You'll know if there's a big wait. You know, maybe it's hot during fourth inning, but, you know, if you wait until the sixth, you know, it cools down and, you know, the wait's not that long, so you can go and get something in a reasonable time. So yeah, I could for sure see using that app, and like you said, you know, maybe it takes an investment of, you know, building the infrastructure, you know, getting the cameras, computer, Wi-Fi, whatever other systems you need upgraded. But then it could also help for other things, you know, it could help for security, other things.
It's all about money. They're like, would you spend $1 million to get $5 million back? Okay, what do I need to do? Like, well, we figured out this and this. I need money for this. They probably do it, and they probably did test runs, and they found out, yeah, it was pretty successful. And why not? And if you're losing money or you feel like you're leaving money on the table, you're going to pay to have that done, because everything, that's what makes the world go around, money.
Damn right. Got to get paid.
So, yeah, you know, we got to get paid too. So all you sponsors out there, we just don't shill for anyone. But for the right amount, we'll endorse anything. Even Donald Trump. No. You got that. Send that check. No. But again, we want to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send in your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Check out our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, and Enthusiast Project. Don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you will see the links to the articles. You'll also see them on Facebook, possibly. But there you see our links to Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, everything that is available for podcasting, Overcast, everything is on there. So check out the Podbean webpage for everything on us, including bios, pictures, and so forth. Subscribe and hit that like button on whatever app you're using. Give us a review, preferably on the iTunes. That makes us very happy, and maybe it'll make us money one day, but right now we ain't making nothing. But that's all right. We do it for the love of podcasting.
There you go.
Again, this is Freeform Radio. This is
Daniel.
And Broke Andy, but still blessed, I guess. And we want to thank you all for listening. You guys have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
That was cool, Dad.